You matter the most, and I don't. I'm here. I am the host. But this talk show is about hearing your opinions, hearing your perspectives, hearing what you thought about the GP weekend. So the way this is going to work is this. We're going to try to be here every Monday off the back of a Grand Prix weekend. Now, if you didn't see the trailer, the way things go is like this. In the description and the live chat, I already pinned the message. Okay, it's already pinned. You will click that link. That link will bring you into the studio as an audience. Okay, you need a desktop or a laptop in order to participate in both the live chat and the live caller in. All right. So when you call in, you're going to literally come up on screen. You're going to be able to say what you got to say. I'm going to say what I got to say. But you got 60 seconds. You got 1 minute to do that. You got 1 minute to do that. And I also want to say big shout out to our new members popping up right there. Big shout out to them. But you got 1 minute to do so, okay? So in that 1 minute, you're going to speak, you're going to talk. We're going to get into it, hopefully clean, but we're going to get into some topics. And as you see, the first topic that we're going to get to is Mercedes, all right? There are some things going on over Mercedes. We're going to hope that YouTube cooperates. I'm hoping that they can hold and harness this type of power that we're putting through. But let's not be fooled. Things are going on at Mercedes. Things are not all A-okay. I think we saw off the back of this GP weekend, temperaments were a little bit more flared. I'm going to send a special message out to George Russell, though. I'm going to tell George Russell, you're going to need to be focused more on what is happening at Mercedes and the development of Mercedes and defending Mercedes more than you spend time defending and teams. George Russell, you've taken a stance several times, a lot more firm than you should have taken a stance on your driving partner, the 7-time world champion, also the GOAT in Formula One, as far as to what happened to him in 2021. You barely
George Russell
and
that also involves Alonso. We're going to talk about that situation with
Aston Martin. And here it is. George Russell is talking about he didn't feel like Alonso deserved that penalty. He felt like he should have got it. We've seen George Russell talk as much as this. We also heard Max Verstappen get in an uproar about a sim racing challenge to the point that he felt things weren't done correctly. It seems like everybody, a lot of people don't have a problem speaking up about things being done incorrectly on these levels. But when it comes to the levels of what happened to Lewis Hamilton in Abu Dhabi 2021, everybody seems pretty hush mouth about that. And it's just interesting to me that I just pay attention to these, you know, these attitudes and these words and these statements going around. But now we're starting to hear things from the drivers that don't quite line up Mercedes, like Lewis Hamilton saying it's George Russell. It doesn't have anything to do with me, but it is good for the team. George Russell voicing his vote for Alonso and several of the things we've seen him do with Max. And Toto coming out pretty much and saying, hey, we messed up. We messed up, but we're going to get into a good time. So listen, this is about you. I will see the live calls when they come in. Okay. When the live calls come in, you fill out that information accordingly, just like you saw in the trailer. You put your name, you put your question, you call in. This show is not about me just talking, although I will just talk. This show is for everybody who literally gets in the comment section, thinks they have something to say. They feel like they have something to say. They've come back for 2 years having something to say. Well, now is your opportunity to say it. Now is your opportunity to give me your opinion. I give you my feedback and or not. You know, it's always going to be my choice, but this is the show and the platform for you to do it on. But oddly enough, maybe those people don't feel like being on the forefront. They want to be behind the quarterly keyboards, and that's okay with me. But hey, we're not going to stop this show. We're going to get on with it. So let's go ahead and get into our next topic right here, our first topic. And let's talk about, does it get any worse than what we see? I mean, can we talk about a display of character that I think was just beneath what should be displayed in Formula One? And let's not get it twisted. I think we've seen several times in Formula One, people get heated, people say things, people do things, people give the middle fingers. We've seen Max Verstappen do that. People shove people. We've seen Max Verstappen do that. We've seen several fights, Schumacher. We've seen a lot of things in Formula One. But I got to say, on a consistent basis, it's a little nerve-ing to see consistently a world champion conduct himself and his father in the way that they have every time I've seen Sergio Checo Perez win a race. In Monaco 2022, he won a race. Joss went out on a Twitter spree, disrespecting and condemning him. So-called, reportedly, Max Verstappen's mom decides to air out Sergio's dirty laundry about his marriage. Max Verstappen goes on a campaign in Brazil and Abu Dhabi not to assist and support his teammate. But I just got to say, what is up with that face? What's up with that face? Can anybody tell me what's going on with Haas Verstappen's face? Why does he have to look like that? And better yet, what is up with Max not parking in the spot that he well deserved? Now, if anybody knows why Max didn't park there, maybe he received instructions not to park there. Maybe somebody called him and said, Max, the car's not safe. Don't park there. But I don't think anybody told Jos Verstappen to have that face, that unwelcoming face, didn't put his arms out to welcome Sergio Perez or congratulate him on the win. But I can tell you one thing. I've seen Checo's dad congratulate Max on a win. I've seen Lewis Hamilton's dad congratulate Max on a win. I've seen Lewis Hamilton and his dad congratulate Max's dad for the win of the family. Why is it all the time that we've seen up until this point, Checo wins a race and Haas has got on a sad face? Max does things like not parking number two or walks right past his teammate. These are not characteristics of becoming of a world champion that I think that a product in Formula One would want to put out there. And may I say, I have somebody in studio, nobody as a live caller yet.
It's like
just
that.
Saying, it's like that. What's up with that? Nobody want to speak? People are quiet now? Don't be quiet. This is the platform for you. This is the show where you get to come on and give me a little bit of your F1 minute, 60 seconds of how you feel. Is that what's up? Or are you scared and we ducking? We hiding from the shots. Don't hide now. It's no need to hide. No need to do any of that. You're welcomed to come on over. Like I said, the caller link is in the description and the live chat. So we will see people say a lot of things, but they won't come on real time and say these things. And this is why I tell people when I provide these platforms, I think about those people too. People think they know what they want to say, but until they get on the spot, they really don't want to buck up and say anything. They want to stay behind the keyboards and stay quiet. Well, right now, Max and his dad are pretty quiet. And I don't think they should be. I think they should be very celebratory and congratulating of Sergio for winning this race. And let me say this, is 2022 not over? 2022 is over, right? This is a new season. Perez has every right to try to win a driver's championship just as Max does in a new season. Right now, they're 1 point off. Max snatches the fastest lap, and I'm not sure that Checo didn't just allow that to happen via team orders. Hey, because if you think about it, that's not something that we don't see, right? We often see, hey, the lead car in a team has the win. We're going to go ahead and give the trailing car the fastest lap point. Go ahead and try to collect as many points as we can as a team. There's nothing wrong with that. But I want to know, is Red Bull going to allow Perez to freely go on a driver's championship campaign without interference? Because he really did his thing. He did his thing in Saudi. And I think a lot of people are wondering, are we going to see a sudden, miraculous, suspicious fall off of Perez's performance just out of nowhere? I think a lot of people wanted that. And I know I got four people right now. I got four people right now in studio. Four people right now. And we got a call from Will Harris, and we're going to bring him on. Will Harris, matter of fact, go ahead. You can meet your YouTube buddy. I'm going to got you on right here. I'm going to go ahead and give you an F1 minute. Are you ready, bro?
I'm ready.
Where are you calling from?
Right? I'm sorry?
Where are you calling from? State, country?
Pennsylvania.
P.A.? Oh, shit.
Jersey boy originally, but.
Hey, Arsenal, I ain't mad at that. Shotgun Shug, I ain't mad at that. So I tell you what, bro, I'm going to put you on the clock. You got your F1 minute, and get ready. Let's go. What do you got for him?
All right, I just want to start off with an icebreaker. Just make a comment on some of the stuff we've been discussing right now. Just talking about the Verstappens, this is something that we've seen time and time again. I know F1 Fanatic said he can't jump in, but he always has some things to say, so I'll kind of address that as well. Here's the issue. That's just a matter of character. That's all it is. If you can't see that, then you got to kind of question yourself. It's a matter of character. He doesn't have to act the way that he acts. Yeah, some of the stuff his dad did probably influenced that, but you got to make that change. You're a grown man now, so you can grow up, make those changes, and not act like that anymore, and stop, you know, just being devoid of any type of feeling for anybody else. And it shows. It definitely shows. So I want to make a comment on that. Also, just for the race finish, we all saw the different things he did. Nobody pulls into Parc Fermé. You pull out on the track. That's how many times you already know what you're doing. So we're just glancing over those things and acting as if they don't matter. They really do matter, and that was just my two cents on that.
Boom. Well, listen, in 10 seconds left, that might be the fastest lap right now on F1 Minute from Will Harris out of PA. Brother, I definitely appreciate you. Make sure you come back in. If nobody does, you're welcome to come back in, and that's the time, and I'm going to address what you said, sir. Hamilton, oh my gosh, and there it is, people. You see it, believe it. Listen, Will Harris spent some facts, and I see right there he also sent some shots. Sounded like he sent some shots to somebody that's being a fanatic. And I think what he said is true. Max has got to grow up. Max has got to be a grown man. Max has got to understand that the apple can roll far away from the tree. Right now, the tree is trying to live its life through that apple. Max has flourished as a driver. He's accomplished what his dad has not. He's done things his dad will never be able to do. And I think at times you could tell his dad wishes he was on track doing that, because he never did that when he was on track. Go back and watch. Go back and watch the races. All right. You might hear his name, but it's never going to be mentioned as a champion. And I think it's unbecoming for somebody to be the father of a champion and try to be in the paddock and in the garage as much as you are. But yet on live TV for many spectators to see around the world, you conduct yourself in the way that you conduct yourself. Everybody saw it. Everybody saw it. And it was unbecoming. All right. Now I want to send a big shout out. Will Harris is also the Quali Kickback King, Trivia King right now. Definitely spitting those facts and dropping those bars. He's got a $25 gift card coming his way from Quali Kickback Trivia. That's another show. But thank you very much for being the first call on F1 Minute. And don't be the last. If you got more bars and more facts to spit, I got five people in the studio, then do so. Remember, if you are in studio, you can go ahead and mute the YouTube, because you will have more of contact with the content coming out before it hits YouTube. Everybody in the YouTube, big shout out to you all. I really do appreciate it. Once again, if you want to be a live caller, in the description and the live chat, I have pinned the link for you to do that. Make sure you're on laptop, desktop. Make sure you're using Edge and Google Chrome. Do not use Explorer. Do not use Firefox. Those browsers will not work well, nor will they give you a good experience. So let's go ahead and get to our next segment. Let's get into these Rook troops. Now, we got these rookies on the grid. I got several people in my camp that definitely have said that they're going to give these drivers three races before they deem them good or they deem them bad goods. Okay. At this point in time, we are two rounds in. And I got to say, if there's anybody that I'm a little bit of disappointed in, it's going to be Nyck DeVries. I was one of those people. I'm going to admit it. I'm going to admit it. I'm going to stand up for who I am. I'm going to have character and integrity, unlike a Verstappen. I'm going to admit I was on the Nyck DeVries horse coming into 2023 after seeing what he did in 2022. I said Nyck DeVries. Now, I wasn't as quite on that horse as some of the other people were, like Helmut Marko. Now, we saw he definitely went overboard, right? He definitely went overboard. He went so much as to say that Nyck DeVries was going to come in. He was going to be the best driver in the team. And that hasn't come to fruition yet. And I got to apologize to Yuki. Yuki, I want to send you out an apology. Now, I know you almost cried this weekend because K-Mag sniped you. K-Mag did snipe you. And that's what, I mean, listen to his name, K-Mag. If you put an A in front of that K, you got A-K-Mag. Either way it goes, it does sound like it's ready to snipe somebody. And he did snipe Yuki right in the final moments of the race to steal and kick Yuki out of points. But that wasn't Nyck DeVries. Both rounds, Nyck DeVries has only finished 14th, and he's finished behind Yuki. All right. He's finished behind Yuki. He has not done the things that I thought he would do coming into the season. I thought Nick DeVries is as accomplished as he was, and he still is definitely the most decorated rookie out of Oscar Piastri and Logan Sargeant. Doing what he did in Formula E as a champion, doing what he did in F2 as a champion, doing what he did in V8 is coming in third, doing what he did in F Renault coming in as a world champion, and doing what he did with that Williams car, putting it in points when it just seemed like other drivers were going to be unable to, not so much because of their talent, but because of the team and the car. But this season is different with Williams, and we got to understand that. This season is really different with Williams, and big shout out to everybody that's in studio. I see 5 people in studio. Please take the opportunity and the chance that is afforded to you to have your F1 minute on live and come on with whatever question, whatever you have to say about this segment. What rookies were you? Which one of these rookies did you all think were going to shine? Because I thought it was going to be Nick DeVries. Now, I know Oscar Piastri was claimed to be this spectacular new toy that Zach wanted, and he stole. And they went through a whole custody dispute battle between Alpine and McLaren. And then McLaren ends up having to pay child support to Alpine for the compensation of the things that they invested in the Oscar that they would no longer get. Now, true enough, I don't think Alpine handled their business well with that situation at all. I don't think they handled it well. I think they panicked when Alonso up and left them. I think they tried to grab onto the next thing when they were going to go ahead and send Oscar out to Williams as well. I don't think Oscar really liked that situation nor those choices. And when he realized that Alpine didn't handle their situation and how they approached the situation via social media, which is the same way that they found out Alonso drum shipped, he went ahead and said, I'm not doing it. I'm not staying, and I will not be driving for you. But since then, Oscar, you know, we had a nice little movement with him and Lando. You know, Lando's ushered out Sainz. He's ushered out Danny Ric. And now the question is, will he do the same with Oscar Piastri, or Piastri will stay around and become a worthy teammate and a driver for McLaren? That is something yet to be seen. I don't think at this point in time, Oscar is the most disappointing situation out of these rookies. And then let's get to Logan Sargeant, the most recent American driver on the grid. Big shout out to Williams doing that. Haas, I thought you would do something, but it seems that you are stuck with being the most un-American American team on the grid to this point. But big shout out to Logan. Logan comes in, but I got to say this. I was looking for Logan to pick up the slack when he did not have Albon on the track. He didn't have Albon on the track. So to me, it's a little bit, it's funny that he didn't participate to the level I thought he would. Okay, I thought Logan would pick up that slack and bring home some points for Williams, and he didn't. He didn't bring home those points. And I felt like he should have, because Albon definitely has. So Mary Beanie, big shout out to Mary Beanie. If you're over at YouTube, Mary Beanie just went ahead and did a super chat. He said, hey, no haters, call you Jay. What a surprise. Not at Wheel on Fire. Hi, best buddy Sylvia. I'm here. Jay, talk about Shady Russell. I wish I could do this. We talked about Russell earlier. So if you're at the YouTube, you see the big shout out in the super chat. And I also see we got other people in the studio and in the audience, of course. But to me, Logan's not the most disappointing here. And like I said, I gotta be honest about my thoughts about Nick DeVries. And at this point in time, I'm a bit disappointed in Nick DeVries. I thought he definitely would outperform Yuki. Yuki has proven us wrong on that. I thought he would definitely come in and be a little bit, I mean, seeing what he did in the Williams, I figured, hey, Yuki doing what he's been doing at AlphaTauri is probably not going to be enough with Nick DeVries coming in with the substantial backing and the resume that he's shown. He's probably going to come in and run off, and he didn't. Although both drivers haven't moved much. Yuki's coming 11th. DeVries is coming 14th, and they've done that back-to-back. At least Yuki, at some point, he almost had those points, and I believe he's going to come away with them eventually. Yuki just needs to stay on it. Big shout out to Sylvia Kelly. Hey, Jay, do we have another live talk coming up? Any dates? Right now we're on F1 Minute, and we're doing this live, but we will be off the back of these GPs on a Monday. Big shout out to Robert K. Christensen. How do I get the Wolfpack shirt? Robert K. Christensen, you're going to get that. You need to go ahead and message me on the Discord. Send me your shipping address, 2 shirt sizes. You'll get that. So as of right now, that's how I feel about the rookies. I don't know how you all feel about them or which one of these rookies that you were really going to go for. But definitely Nick DeVries was my choice. I thought Nick DeVries would do a bit better, and he hasn't done that. So that is what it is. Don't forget, remember, if you want to be a caller, I got Will Harris on the line right now. We're going to bring him in for another F1 Minute. Will, got you on, bro. I'm about to start your clock. You're going to go ahead and talk.
It's like that.
All right, let's get ready to go. And you're on the clock, brother. What do you got?
Okay. For the rookies, I think we've got them pretty much ranked the same way. I think that Sargeant's been the one that stood out for me. That's not even just American bias, just wanting to have an American driver finally step up, you know?
Okay. But
I think that he so far has shown that he has quality pace. And even when he's in the race, I think his race pace is even a little better. I think he might be dealing with some issues as far as maybe tire deg, or because he made up 7 places in Jeddah and then started to drop back towards the end. So the only other person that made up that many places throughout the race was Verstappen at one point.
Nobody
else was able to make up that many places on a track he's never been on, and was able to, I mean, he dropped a couple places towards the end, but I think that was just more towards getting used to maybe the track and tire decks, things like that, strategies. And as far as DeVries and Piastri, I think I feel kind of the same way. We expected DeVries to come in with all that experience and to just kind of outshine them, and that really hasn't happened yet. And Piastri, I guess, you know, there are different woes and stuff going on with McLaren, but yet to kind of be seen. So I kind of, that's why I put him right in the middle.
Got you. Okay. I definitely feel the same. Will, man, I'm telling you what, bro. You come with some fire every time you come. You know what? Bow. There's the F1 Minute. Will coming with, listen, I got to tell y'all something. Either y'all going to get on or y'all going to get off, but Will is going to do what he does, and he keeps doing what he does, and he receives money for doing what he does in quality kickback trivia. And that's a very fair point. And I want to send a big shout out to Will for that, because the truth is, yes, Logan has shown good pace. Now, Logan needs to do his homework. All right. You got to do your homework, Logan. You got to read the director's notes. You got to know where you can be and where you can't be. But that does not take his team off the hook for making sure that they also bring that to his attention, which they did not do. All right. They did not bring that to his attention. And that also falls on his team. So Logan's still doing well. Like Will said, most recent American driver on the grid, which I do support that. And I am looking for him to pick up pace. Now, remember, he is in Williams, so I think we got to taper expectations. But Williams has been doing pretty damn good this season in comparison to the other seasons. And I, for one, would like to see an angel who has fallen from heaven reach heaven one day again. Do not forget, Williams is a heritage team that was very, very competitive. All right. Adrian Newey was there. They've had several championship drivers, legendary drivers come through their team. And I think Williams one day could return to that. Now, I don't know what's going to happen with the ownership of Williams and how all that may go. But I do think that there's an option for Williams to be there. So we will definitely see about that. So big shout out to Williams. Hoping everything goes good with them. So we'll see how that goes. And we'll just go from there. So let's get in. Let's get in. Hold on. We got Matt live calling. We got a live calling from Matt. So we're going to bring Matt in. Let's see what Matt has to say. Matt, I'm going to put you on your F1 Minute.
Word. What's going on, y'all?
What's going on, bro? What's going on? So I'm going to start your clock, man, on your F1 Minute. You speak your each and see what you got to say, brother.
I'm touching on a lot of that. He kind of came in with a lot of team, like, kind of attitude. He kind of reminds me of like a miniature Alonso. He kind of reminds me of a mini Alonso. He has that like demeanor, like, I'm here to show you what I can do, but he hasn't been putting up the numbers. And Yuki's definitely been holding his ground. I see sometimes he's been talking off to the side here, trying to keep him focused.
Keep him right.
You know, don't let him take your seat. You know, that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to take the first seat between the two of them. Yuki's maturing a lot. He's still got a lot more maturing to do, as we saw when he missed that turn against K-Meg. He really wanted to beat him down to that turn, but he couldn't hold on to it. And I take that with experience. K-Meg's been in here for a while, so he knows how to dive into that corner and correct it, so he has the right position. That's why they mentioned it, like kind of an old school takeover. I think I forgot who had said it, but somebody had, and it's showing. He's maturing really good. And before my time's up real quick, why do we keep putting Lewis on these sorry strategies? Keep him off the hard tires. The hard tires have been terrible since last season.
Brother, before you go, I gotta say, That is a very good point. Now, if you recognize that, they should recognize that. If we recognize that, why haven't they recognized it? At no point when Lewis has went on hard tires has it been a good time. Matter of fact, where are you calling from, bro, before I let you go?
Richmond, Virginia, my man. Two up, two down.
Virginia, man, what's up? That DMV area is for real, yeah, up in here tonight. Hey, man, I'm getting support from the DMV. I got to get y'all more love, bro. Big shout out to you. Don't let this be the last time you had your F1 minute. If nobody else jumps in, feel free to jump in on one of these segments, bro.
Already.
Man.
Appreciate you hanging on, bro.
No problem, bro. So, hey, there we go. He asked a very good question. I know we talked about Mercedes at the front of this live show, but yeah, that's a very good question. Why hasn't Mercedes learned not to put Lewis on hard tires by now? He hasn't done well on them. It hasn't been a good tire for them. Maybe for K-Mag, but K-Mag and Haas are not Mercedes, and there are definitely some things that are going on there that need to be paid attention to. So let's go ahead and let's get into our next segment. We're off the Rook Troop. Like I said, I admit I was wrong about DeVries, between DeVries and Yuki. Yuki, I apologize. If you're watching this show, I apologize. Yuki, I was wrong. I said they did you wrong, but then I still went with DeVries. I don't think I was wrong for going with DeVries based off the body of work, but I should have gave you a bit more consideration than I did. So big shout out to Yuki. Don't cry next time that man take your place. Just hold your chin up, walk strong. Okay, so let's get to our next segment. We talking about Ferrari, y'all. Now, there ought to be a lot of heat in here about that. Ferrari. Was Charles requesting team orders? And should Charles, listen, Charles wasn't the only one that was requesting team orders. Charles, Max, we didn't hear Lewis request team orders to switch out, although I think it could have been valid to do so. Who else? There was somebody, there was another teammate and another team that was pretty much requesting that. But Shaw is about, Ferrari is on a make it or break it situation with Shaw. And I got Matt calling in. I'm going to get Matt right in on this. He says falling Ferrari, so I'm bringing Matt in right now. Here we go. Matt's going to be on another F1 minute. Lay your smoke and let's see what you got to say. And we're going to we let this down. If you could, brother, man, turn your volume down on the other end so we don't get the echo.
Okay, I got you. I got you.
All right, here we go. My brother is on his F1 minute. Let's see what you got. Go ahead and spit your facts, man. Spit your facts.
So Ferrari, there's a reason that they have the team principal they have now, and that's to restore the foundation and the basics to Ferrari, because they've fallen off their high horse ever since they got that that reprimand back a few years ago for what they were using.
I think that was
2019. Once their engine fell off, it exposed them that the core of Ferrari was not very well. And we're starting to see that when it comes to their strats, when it comes to when to pit, when not to pit, and it's frustrating both of their drivers. Sainz, he probably doesn't show or vocalize it as much as he probably should, as being frustrated with the come into the pit, don't come into the pit, what do you want me to do here?
Right.
Leclerc, right, is very obvious he's frustrated with the late come into the pits, the late don't come in. It's costing him places, lots of places. It's costing him victories. True. And the power unit, ooh, it's widespread, but they've had it more so, right, than anybody else for the past two seasons, and that man has been on pole position a numerous a time and lost it.
That is very true. Boo, that's your F1 minute. Matt, listen, Will, Matt, DMV area is killing y'all tonight. We don't, listen, I know we got fans in UK, Cali, but the DMV is coming with us tonight. I don't know what's wrong with the rest of y'all, but when I put a platform up that gives you the opportunity to come on and spit those facts instead of commenting like that, you need to do so. Hey, Matt, I'm going to get back with you, bro. Big appreciation on that. So listen, hey, he brings up a good point, and that's why I say I think Ferrari's on a rebuild or prove it mode for Charles. I don't think, listen, when your driver requests to talk to chairman, to upper senior people who make big money decisions, he's not happy. And if he's not happy, he's not comfortable. And if he's not comfortable, he's not confident. And I think he has a right to feel this way. I think Ferrari, now I know Charles made mistakes in 2022. I'm not releasing him from that. But what I don't think is, I don't think the mistakes that Charles made in comparison to the mistakes that Ferrari made as an organization caused him his driver's championship campaign. Ferrari did that. the power unit was unreliable. Now, they could say they turned it all up and it was going to work on making it reliable. Well, it definitely was unreliable. It definitely was up. I think we all can agree Ferrari's was probably the number two fastest car last season. But due to poor strategies, poor management, and an unreliable power unit, Charles dropped out of the World Driving Championship campaign. That's just facts. Now we got Fred Vasseur. They give him, my man. We got David Sanchez just left. They start Shaw off in 2023 like it's Groundhog Day, and it's 2022 again. He's having reliability issues cause him to leave the race. That's not a good way to start. Ferrari definitely has to do better. OK, Ferrari's got to do better at everything. Now, Fred is put in a situation where he's being asked to make, and I've said this, he's being asked to make beef Wellington with gas station ingredients. And that's not fair. That's not fair to Fred, right? Jefferson, big shout out to you. Super chat. I've sent you the suspicious SC. I really do appreciate that. We got the super chat and the live chat on the YouTube. Big shout on that. So, yeah, I don't think that's fair. I don't know if Ferrari's going to hold Fred accountable for this season if it doesn't go right. Now, anything that does happen that can be laid at Fred's lap and proven that he indeed had the most to do with that, he needs to own responsibility for that. Fred doesn't strike me as the type of person that won't. But I don't want to see that man criticized or crucified for things that are outside of his control. Now, you look at the head coach and Jerry Jones situation with the Dallas Cowboys. I think it's very fair to say that Jerry Jones has caused the Dallas Cowboys several NFL championships, period. The whole debacle with him and Jimmy, had he just been able to remove himself. But Jerry can't stay out of his own way. Jerry can't stay out of positions that don't have anything to do with him. Jerry can't take the Kraft way and just be an owner, sit up in the plush box, hire the right coaches and the managers and to get draft the right players that are going to put your team in a position to win. That's the problem. So when that becomes the case, Fred Vasseur might be overridden by situations like that. And we got to be real about that. Hopefully, that's not to say, hopefully he can get this thing overturned. I think when you see a team like Williams that was as competitive as they were at one time, you want to see them return. Just like everybody says, every driver should want to drive for Ferrari. I think you want to see Ferrari return. I think more than anything, even if you don't support any one of these teams, Red Bull, Ferrari, or Williams, or even McLaren or Aston, what you do want to see is a multi-team, multi-driver battle to make the season more interesting. That's what you do want to see. I can guarantee you that. So with that being the case, Ferrari, I think we've given Ferrari enough time. I think we've given enough time, but I do got to say Ferrari. Damn. You got to do better. You Ferrari. And right now what you're doing is just wrecking another season right off the back. I think you need to pay attention to that, all right? So let's go ahead and get to our next segment, and that is what is going on? Why are things seeming consistently inconsistent? What's going on? We just came off. Now, first, let's talk about this situation. Let's talk about the situation with Alonso. All right. Big shout out to Galactic Super Chat. Ferrari PU troubles too early for a top team, shaking my head. And he's right. It is too early. The first race of the season. That ain't early. That's just ridiculous. All right. That's just ridiculous. So, Alonso does the similar thing. Really, no, he does the same thing. I mean, it could be left or right. I think that's the difference here. He was more on the right. Esteban was more on the left. But the point is, you weren't lined up in your proper spot. Therefore, you caught a penalty. All right. SD goes in to serve the penalty. 5-second penalty. Same thing as Esteban, right? Now, what I don't get is how things don't run the same as they ran last race to this race. Now, I understand the regulation and the things that are out there, but it still really, to me, doesn't seem quite right. So the thing is with Esteban, one of the mechanics tapped the car with a tool because they were going to change out his front wing, I believe. Tapped the car with a tool, tapped it. I mean, we talk about 0.004 seconds that they had to go by frame to see this tap that happened on the car. Because of that, they deemed that the stop was not qualified to serve the penalty because mechanic touched the car. Therefore, work was beginning on the car. He gets another penalty. Here we are right now with Alonso coming in. The rear jack man touches the car. The rear jack man touches the car. Alonso gets another penalty. Now, how Alonso gets this reversed, we know the process they went through, but it doesn't make sense to me. Now, they're saying that they showed several instances where this occurred in other situations, that on at least seven occasions, the rear jack touched the car and you didn't do anything. All that says to me is you got it wrong seven other times. Now is the time to get it right. Now, they say the front jack can be in place because the front jack is acting as a guide point. And the car literally makes contact with the front jack. Not so much the jack man making contact with the car, with him initiating. He's there as a guide point. The car's going to come in and stop, hit the jack point. Boom. The clock starts, as long as nobody touches the car. But the rear jack man touched the car. He's not the front jack man. So, no, I do not think this should have been overturned. And this is the second time, at least within a 2 year time period, that we've seen points either get overturned for Alonso via Mexican GP in 2022. Now here we are in 2023, where I think this situation with the podium should not have been overturned. Yeah, he went up there and celebrated. Now, think about this. I want you all to think about this. They went as far as Alonso went to podium, popped champagne bottles, got the trophy. They went as far to make sure that they felt they did was right. They erred on the side of caution, and they said it is not yours, that you're going to have to give that up to Russell. This is what they do, right? So they err on the side of caution. They're saying that we got to do what's right. So this is what we're doing. So my thing is this. Why didn't that happen last week? Okay, cool. But evidently you saw for Alonso to reverse his points. Woo, Will Harris is coming. And I think he's going to come with some smoke, y'all. Will Harris is on F1 Minute. Here we go, bro. I'm going to start your clock and you do.
Just like that.
Here we go. The timer is on. Your F1 Minute begins now.
Okay. So in regards to this Alonso situation, I think this falls solely on the FIA's doorstep, because this is something that we continue to see throughout especially the last couple of years. This has become a mess. Just think back to Suzuka 2022 with Verstappen getting the championship, not getting the championship. Leclerc's penalty had to somehow come into play into that, so they weren't even sure. And so I know a lot of people have, you know, differing opinions on how that should have went down, but that still falls solely on the FIA's doorstep. Same thing with the Gasly situation. Now here right. We are with this situation where they're saying that the International Sporting Code says that you can't touch the car at all, but they never said that you could differentiate between the front jack and the rear jack. Correct. And there was something at the race put out that said, well, why don't you guys just fix the code and say, this is the front jack can guide it, and the rear jack can then at that point be what's lifted, so then they know the difference between the two. And that's why they brought up all those situations, because they were able to show that you guys never called anybody out on this. And that was why they were able to reinstate it. But they're supposed to be the ones that know how to get this sorted out and figure this out before any of these issues happen. And it's been happening a lot lately. I can't remember in decades of seeing the FIA screw things up like this much.
Maybe 2021. There's your F1 Minute. Maybe that one. Big shout out, Will, coming again with the facts, bro. Big shout out to you, man. I appreciate your support. Appreciate you coming on. Definitely again, we're going to hit it up. So listen, there it is. Will drops a very valid point, and it is the FIA's fault. It is their responsibility to make sure they get these things right. Matt is also in studio. He's coming on with a call, so I'm finna get ready to give him his time in the sun to shine so he can go ahead and talk to y'all. All right, Will, I'm about to start your clock, bro. What you got?
Word. So with that, the FIA has been dropping the ball since Abu Dhabi 2020 left. And it all boils down to favoritism. If you look at some of the keywords that Alonso, with my sponsors here, after I got the trophy, after I got the, oh, you talking money is not a good look. So that say, oh, wait a minute. That's a lot of money he talking about. Sponsors, maybe we want to put, oh, his 100th podium. How does that look for him to get it and then take it back? And oh, I don't know. Maybe we should just give it back. And that's what happened. Is favoritism. Mm. When you look at it, did Akon get his place back? No, they don't have a big enough sponsor pool with enough money to say, oh, maybe we should. But you get a big enough name,
is deep enough.
Oh, now I start to sense it. Just like with Lewis.
Okay.
You know that's not right, Mikey. Oh, that's what you call car racing. Is just, I don't want to see you here, so I'm going to pull some strings and get you pulled.
Ooh, Matt coming with the fire, bro. I'm about to talk about that, Matt. Man, please come back if you got another F1 minute, man. I got to talk about that. So listen, is the brother right? The brother brings up the point that it could indeed be all about money. And listen, is he wrong? I don't think he's wrong for feeling how he feels or saying what he just said. Think about this. We heard it was reported the whole situation in 2021, the scandal that went down and stole Lewis Hamilton's 8th championship away from him. I'm not the only one to say it. Ted Kravitz said it. Several other F1 journalists that are in the ranks have said it or alluded to it. But remember what they said. They wanted a high climatic end to the season, and they were willing to deconstruct and do wrong in order to get that. And that to them, they felt was going to equal in sponsorship, viewership, and dollars. So now Matt says maybe this overturning and turning a blind eye until, watch, next season, we'll see this regulation fixing, which it should be. It should be more clear, right? Just like any and all, but we'll table that. Matt's saying that, hey, Alonso getting his 100th right now while he's on the run in the AMR 23 is money. Alonso's sponsors being up there when he got that, that's money. We don't want them unhappy. Matt brings up a valid point. And I, for one, would not argue with that point because I do agree with that point that he just made. And because I agree with that point, I got to give him the gunshot. He took one right there. And matter of fact, I got to give Will one, too. He took one right there. Will and Matt from the DMV area, they've been running it up. Big shout out to them. Big shout out. So, hey, we done talked about this. We done talked about our segments. Mercedes, Ferrari, we need y'all to do better. Mercedes, if you neglected to listen to your 7-time world driving championship of Lewis Hamilton, shame on you. Ferrari, if you can't do anything to facilitate Charles being more happy as your number one driver, you're going to do yourself a disservice. FIA, you need to get your business together. All right. The situation with Alonso, not quite in agreement with that. Not at all. Not at all. Not because it's Alonso, because the optics of that just didn't sound right. You penalize Esteban just the round one for this same. It's literally the same thing. Lined up wrong. Came in to serve your penalty. Somebody touched the car that shouldn't have touched the car. You get a more time penalty, but you reverse Alonso's. And I think Matt has a point. Was it for the money? All right, Will brings up a very valid point. The FIA have to be more responsible. They need to be more proactive instead of reactive and get ahead of these regulations. They got the regulations there. They got the whole book. They got the library. Read your books. Read your own books that you wrote and make the right necessary revisions to them. Do all the pink line out so we can see that you own your job. Max Verstappen and your dad, you need to stop having the boo-boo face when Sergio Perez wins. He got every right now to try to lead a championship campaign, and I, for one, would like to see him do it. OG Zilla, big shout-out for the Super Chat. FIA has been imploding since, Charlie passed. You know what? I'll also say this. Could it also be true that Mercedes themselves have been going through something since Niki Lauda passed? I think it's something to be said when one of your pillars in your organization fall and you lose that. That input, that support, you never know how much that person means until you lose them. And I think these organizations, and I think we can see from any other organizations that have lost somebody that has been a pillar within those ranks, that it can make a big difference. It really does make a big difference. And I'm just hoping for the sake of the sport that these things can get corrected, that these things can get fixed, that we can see better racing, that we can see better character amongst the grid, that we can see more competitive drives, and that we can see equal and fair development. All right. So listen, this is the first episode of F1 Minute from your boy Jay at Wolfpack Performance and the Performance Talk Podcast. I want to thank everybody for coming on tonight. I hope that we see more people come on. Remember, I give you the platform and ability to come on and say your piece, have your F1 Minute. Tell me what you feeling and how you thinking. I appreciate everybody that participated. I appreciate everybody over in the YouTube and the live chat that are watching. And like I said, I even appreciate my haters because I see they didn't step up to come on and say anything, but I gave you the opportunity. I put it down, the invite, the door right there was open. All you had to do is come in correct, and you would have been right. So listen, that's Jay with F1 Minute. I hope you all have a good night. We will be here again off the back of another Grand Prix weekend on a Monday night to have a late night show, and we're going to keep this thing rolling. Peace and love. See you all soon. I'm out.